Hey, Carla, we're not sure how we're going to use this, but I just started telling a story that I thought I'd already told, and the sisters were like, I haven't heard this yet. So I'm like, oh, sit down and get ready. So it's sort of relevant to what we were already talking about, like parents wanting to micromanage schools and how we have to be careful as we're moving forward, teaching people how to teach their kids, that we don't reinforce the idea that it's our job to fix other people's families. Like, the only solution is for us to take responsibility for our own kids and our own families. And there's only so much that another institution can do. Institutions like public school or like Sunday school and church programs, youth group on the weekends, there's only so much that they can do to counteract what's wrong with the home life. And I've been involved in many, many institutions. I've been a teacher in daycare, and I've volunteered at crisis pregnancy centers, all sorts of things. And over again, I've run into this problem where it's like, oh my goodness, it's an uphill battle because there is no substitute for a good family. And even as much as I try to teach these kids or these adults like family, and I try to take them under my wing, if they only give me an hour a week or whatever, it's just not enough. So the story goes, there's a youth group nearby that our dad, Tabby's and my dad, volunteers at. And I won't name it, but he was telling me this story about how one of the kids who's like 12, I think, I'm not even going to have all the details to share anyway, but I believe he's like 12. And he got into a tiff with another kid at youth group and sent a text message to the other kid of himself holding a gun, like a BB gun, because he's 12. So, but it was meant to be threatening.
Yeah.
And it was. And he was like, I don't know exactly what the text message said, but it was something to the effect of, this is what's going to happen if you keep messing with my girl.
Oh.
Which is
cringy.
Cringy, a little bit funny, but also a red flag for a kid who's 12 because, you know, give that another 4 years. And
yeah, that's a threat. That's a threat.
That's
scary. A parent would be bothered by that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So kid who receives threat. Kid who sent threat lives with his grandma, actually, which is kind of relevant to the story because, again, obviously something has happened with the parents of this child where I believe they're in prison or out of the picture. Maybe one is in rehab and one is in prison. That feels like it's correct. Mm. But again, not totally sure on the details.
So grandma's the one that's taking him to youth group.
Grandma's taking him to youth group, and grandma's the one who's trying to take responsibility for him with all good intentions, like somebody like me or somebody like the rest of you would try to do to put this kid back on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
But it's difficult, and there's only so much you can do. So youth group leader goes to grandma's house to inform grandma, and boy, this is not going to be tolerated. You know, this is a big problem. And so the grandma, how did this happen? I think that the next week at youth group, the kid was mad that the grandma had basically agreed that it was wrong. Like, he's 12. He's throwing a fit. And so he says to the youth group leader at youth group, I've informed my grandma she's not allowed to come around here anymore because I'm mad at her. Again.
By the way, your grandma's here. Get out. She's here to pick you up.
Again, kind of funny, but we all know, like, there's a problem here. Right. And this is not going in a good direction.
Yeah.
So youth group minister guy says to kid, you're not allowed to tell your grandma what she can and can't do. It's my property, actually. And I have told her she needs to come and pick you up because he was acting up that week. Mm. And he goes, no. 12-year-old says, no, I told her she's not allowed to be here. And so grandma shows up.
Good.
Because the youth minister told her to come. And the kid, 12-year-old, starts screaming at his grandma right there in the parking lot, like fist in her face, like finger in her face. I told you not to show your face here. We're going to have big problems when we get home. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I think he's taller than his grandma, too, at this point, because she's little and he's, you know.
Poor grandma?
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd grandma react?
Well.
She wallop him upside.
She didn't wallop him.
She pulled out the BB gun?
She did take him home.
Oversized purse.
She did take him home. And what happened was the youth minister, like the next day or later that week, came for a visit and basically talked to the 12-year-old about all of this. And the youth minister has sons of his own and is a really great guy. And he laid it out for him. He's like, listen, I consider you a friend and I like having you at youth group. But you know, as well as I know, that this cannot be accepted. You cannot do this. And you owe other kid an apology and all of this stuff. 12-year-old breaks down crying.
Oh.
Right? And he's like, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I shouldn't. And he says, the youth minister says, well, I'm glad that you're repentant. You know, this is great. This is a sign of maturity. You're going to apologize to the other kid next week. And then you're welcome to return. Mm-hmm. You know, once we get this sorted out, you can come back.
Yeah.
But you can't do stuff like this anymore. It's not allowed.
Yeah.
Right. So kid cries and apologizes and agrees he's going to apologize next week too and leaves. Here's where the story gets like, what are you talking about? A couple days later, youth minister gets a call from another adult who's involved with the youth group and says, hey, the grandma called me and said that you said her kid wasn't allowed to be at youth group anymore. And the youth minister's like, no, she was right there. That's not what happened. And the other adult who had gotten the call from the grandmother said, well, she says that you made him cry.
Oh, wait a minute.
True.
So the grandma's right. Sticking up for the 12-year-old boy now?
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, they were so close. They were so close.
Yes.
This is why they need men in the family.
Yep.
So we had this breakthrough moment, right? Youth minister does this great intervention and actually gets through to this kid.
Mm-hmm. That's why he cried.
Grandmother,
and she undermined all of it.
Undermines it because she couldn't stand the fact that he was crying.
Oh, my.
And so this is the type of
situation. But it's a good cry.
Well, it doesn't matter.
It's a healing cry.
She doesn't see it that way.
Yeah.
Has she never done that?
It wasn't Christ-like. You know, he wasn't treating this 12-year-old with Christ-like love.
Oh, my.
And he was being exclusive. And, you know, this youth group is just not a place that she's sure that she should send this 12-year-old. So bear in mind, parents are already who knows where because their lives are messed up.
Right.
You know, there's prison and there's drugs and possibly both. And now we've got grandson who's being raised by the same person who just doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
Just does not know.
Does she like being yelled at in parking lots?
I would assume not. But they just don't know.
Well, that's also the problem when you go off your feelings and you don't assess the situation and see that, like she probably wanted to cry too. I mean, maybe nobody had ever talked to her like that. And she's sitting here seeing her grandson have this, you know, pivotal moment.
Be held responsible for his decisions, which feels bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't feel good.
And anybody around would probably be like, yikes.
Yeah.
But then you move on. You realize that this was a good thing.
Well, this is clearly a problem of generational issues of not being able to deal with feelings and emotions and process them.
Yes.
And it was calling them what they are.
Grandma was probably the type of punisher that punished, felt bad about it, apologized to the child instead of having the child apologize to her, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And that was exactly what happened. I mean, just seeing the way that the kid was comfortable talking
to her
in front of people.
Oh, yep.
He's seen it before.
Yep.
He's mimicking what he has seen before. His parents probably walked all over grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did whatever they wanted.
So all of that to say.
It's very generational.
Right. Sure. And generational was the key word because the whole reason I started telling this story was because I was saying my heart now is to try to teach other adults how to parent, how to teach, how to interact with kids. Because I've worked with the kids individually. I've been the youth group volunteer. I've been, you know, the preschool teacher. I still do that. But so many times I run into this problem where what I'm doing is being undermined by the people at home. And it's like, oh my goodness, we don't need more preschools. Mm-hmm. Like in my opinion, and respect to you, if you're a preschool teacher or if you feel called to have a preschool or to start a youth group, that's great. And that's fine. But me personally, I don't feel called to start another kid-based program when it's the grown-ups who don't have anybody teaching them anymore. We need adult school.
You know what? You talk to any preschool teacher. One of my best friends is a preschool teacher right now, and she will tell you straight up, I can't do anything if the parents are literally undermining me every step of the way or they're not giving their kids the proper amount of attention at home.
Right.
She is a poor little boy who is so desperate for affection that he cries if he doesn't get to be line leader, not because he wants to be line leader, but because he doesn't get to hold her hand that day. And it's like that should break you, you know? Like if you are not even giving your own kid the, you know, the affection and the attention that they need to just raise them, and you think that some preschool teacher who's managing a classroom of 10, 12, 20 kids sometimes, they think they're going to get that?
Right.
It's messed up.
Right.
When I'm a pessimist, anytime that I see that, I'm like, yeah, but is that kid just really intelligent and knows how to get what he wants out of that preschool
teacher?
Says the
stay-at-home mom who,
right. whose daughter would 100% yes. do that. Yes.
Yeah. But Marcy who's is not it? Lacking the attention at all.
That's her true. Point. Well, that's
my point. Yeah.
And like to yeah. be able to teach mothers and fathers too, but primarily mothers, how to recognize the difference mm. with their own kids. Yeah. Because we just got done having this long conversation about how we like to outsource our parenting choices and force the teachers to solve all of these problems for us. Yeah. I would love to have a classroom of 20 parents mm-hmm. who were like, okay, what do I do when my kid is crying and saying that she wants to hold my hand, but I told her it's nap time. It's like, oh, you put her down for her nap because she's yes. playing the heartstrings
she's
on
She's manipulating.
Purpose. Yes,
yeah.
she's smart.
My daughter in yeah. particular manipulated me for a good while until I was like, oh, I'm on to you, kid. But she gets everybody else in the world because they're not me. They're not with her.
Because she twirls her hair.
And she's super Marcy's cute. And she's super smart. And she can't get away with it with yeah. you guys anymore either. But everybody else, yeah, they'll be like, well, she told me. I'm like, don't believe her.
She bats her eyes, like literally bats her eyelashes. It's something to behold yes. when she's putting on a show.
Yeah. But performance.
But so many people don't know that with their own kids. They don't know what's true about their own kids or what their own temptations are.
Yeah.
What? How does your child sin? You know, what are the things that your child is weak with? What are their strengths?
Yeah. Colin comes in.
What did he just say?
Says stealing. Maybe stealing.
Colin.
Yes. Yeah. Colin knows
I think
his
he
own
just
weaknesses.
Got convicted right yeah, then. He was probably. Like, oh no, they must be talking about my sin from today.
They all do it. We all do it. And if you don't know, like, I would love to have a youth group, except not a youth group, an adult group, I guess, mm-hmm. a grown-up group.
Yeah. That's just a
I
group.
I think they're called small groups.
GUG. What? Grown-up group.
GUG.
GUG. Every Wednesday night. Yeah, if you don't know how to handle a child who's being rebellious like that, mm-hmm. then yes, we don't need more youth groups. We don't need more youth ministers to field calls from angry grandmas. Mm-hmm. We need more parents and grandparents to take responsibility for solving those problems themselves. Because God gave us the children, mm-hmm. and our job is not primarily, I don't believe, our job is primarily to go find other people to basically take over all of these little areas.
Okay, but what should they do when what they are doing is not working?
Well, it depends. Like
say they are trying to take responsibility and they are trying to do the hard thing and the hard work and the consequences and the discipline and all that. And it doesn't feel like it's working at all. Like the kids are still running the show.
I would have to know
yeah.
the situation.
More details.
Yeah. I would have to know what they mean by not working or, you know, what kind of discipline they're doing. Simon's right by me.
I think one of the main things, and we talk about this a lot, is that whatever the discipline, you know, whatever the punishment is, it needs to be something they don't like.
Yeah.
And you know that they don't like it when they're screaming and throwing a fit about it. So I feel like just giving the general thing that you said, Megan,
you're right. It wasn't specific
if
enough.
They, well, and it's hard to get, I mean, even giving one specific example may only help one person. Thing, but
too many people did not grow up in families where kids were being raised and disciplined. They've never seen it. Mm-hmm. I've talked before about how, first of all, our mom, Tabby's and my mom, had a daycare in our home when we were growing up. And that was hugely helpful because our mom does a very good job being consistent and laying out rules for very young children mm-hmm. and following through with them.
And they respect her for it.
Right.
I think they appreciate the boundaries yeah. sort of that she sets.
Well, they do eventually.
Right.
But
well,
she
true.
Also not, a
not necessarily at first.
She also knows that they're going to fight her a little bit or it's normal for them to fight. And right. she's not intimidated by that yeah. where a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and worked in a daycare for 3 years before my own kids were born when I was recently married. And having that structure with people who work with kids all the time, it was so helpful to know that, yes, kids get mad at you mm-hmm. when you have boundaries mm-hmm. at first. They get mad, but then later, it's better and healthier for everyone
yeah.
to have those rules. And so I think that an adult youth group, a grown-up group, or GUG, if mm-hmm. you will, I think it would just
stop trying to make GUG happen.
I'm going
so
to.
Fetch.
It's just a group.
Just wait. Carla's going to start emailing us about GUGs, getting GUGs started in her hometown. I guarantee it. So I think it would just look like parenting in front of people. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm literally going to start this Friday. I'm going to go to the church and just say, hey, anybody who wants to come see what homeschool looks like, there may be a lot of crying involved. Mm-hmm. And I want others to see that that's a normal part mm-hmm. of parenting so that they can then imitate it in their own home and not feel like, oh, I must be doing it wrong, because there's only so much I can describe, you know, in short. There's only so many blog posts I can write or how many podcasts I can record that it describe what I mean by discipline.
Anytime that you want a Marcy story, I got them.
Yes. But again, like, it's one thing to say, oh, and then we repeated ourselves 12 times and spanked after every reinforcement of that, you know, repetition of that rule. And it's one thing to say that. It's another to actually witness the 20-minute ordeal. You know, it's another thing to watch parents mm-hmm. march their kid to the bathroom 12 times in a row, like one after another, turning right back around and going back for another spank it. Like,
yeah.
It's one thing to hear about it and another thing to actually be in the room while it's being done. And I think that it being immersed in it is the best possible way to learn how to reinforce your own parenting.
Watch them bargain. Watch them try to change the subject.
Yep.
Watch them be defiant, but they don't look like they're being defiant.
Oh, it's the halfway defiant.
Mm-hmm. Where somebody else would be like, well, maybe she didn't hear you. And I'm like, no. Oh, yes, she did.
Yeah, I had to whack Silas on the upper thigh yesterday because he was how do I describe this? Everybody who has a toddler has seen it. They like slide like a slug down the couch across the floor while they're trying. I'm going. No, you weren't. Even heading in the same direction that I told you to go at 0.00002 miles an hour does not count as going, because you are being defiant. You're mm-hmm. still trying to hold on to that control. And so, yeah, he got a whack, and then he's like, I was going. And it's like, not fast enough.
Yeah.
Well, in our house, we talk about how our willpower? It's whatever it is, has to be stronger than the child.
Yes.
Like
your resolve.
You have to hang in there. And I remember I had a friend that said something about, well, it was 10 minutes. And I was like, girl,
10
minutes?
That's great.
Try 2 hours.
It's right. Nothing. I mean, you know, sometimes I think Abby said it's been like a whole day
of
dealing with the same. And it's like, but they have to see that you're the brick wall. And if they keep running into the brick wall, they're not going to get where they need to go. And it's going to be painful. It's much easier to stand at the brick wall and behave to the brick wall, and maybe a door will suddenly appear and they can get to where they need to go.
Maybe a door will appear.
My baby probably is awake.
My daughter is good at it too. Like, she, when everything else fails, then she'll start asking for like physical affection type things.
Yep.
Like when she's mm-hmm. really at her wit's end and Kane, I'm like, it's that. Nap time. Can she'll be like, yes. Can I just have a Kisses. Hug? Nope. You can't. Yep. And then she'll stop for a second. Well, can you just cover me up? Nope. And then you feel horrible.
And this is exactly where a parent who has not had the resolve will say, well, it's just a hug. It's like, oh, it is not just a hug.
There's no substitute seeing it from another parent. There's no substitute from watching another person handle mm-hmm. that situation. And I think of like how hard it is to describe the chaos in a situation where like baby Silas and baby Marcy are arguing about who knows. Like, they're chattering and you can't even understand them because they're so young. And it's like,
you're like 14.
And then Silas goes, no. And then Marcy goes, no, say no. And then Silas is like, no. And then Marcy goes,
back and forth.
Sidey, say me no. And then Silas goes, no. And she goes, he's same again.
Points. He's same again. Get him.
Which doesn't even make sense grammatically, but we knew exactly what was happening. They were just bickering. They were like 18 months old.
Yeah, they were younger than that.
And bickering over who even knows what.
Nothing.
And to hear that and not have listened to a couple of tiny, tiny people argue like that before. What do you do? Do you put them in timeout? Do you have a talk with them? Like, you know, could it be either of those? I would say it could be either of those, but how do you do it? And it takes so long to talk about it rather than to just show another parent, this is how to do it.
Well, and just remember, emotional resilience is definitely key. Mm-hmm. If you can't control your own temper and your own reactions to their meltdowns, like if you're having a meltdown about their meltdown, no one's being served here.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there, though. It usually happens after the fact. There's been many times where I've gone to the couch where Joe is sitting, like, waiting to watch a movie after I've been in there, like, fighting the good fight. And I come out, and I'll just, like, kind of collapse on the couch. And she'll be asleep, and I'll be like, I know that I won, but why does it feel like this?
Why do I feel bad? Because it's hard.
And I think, I mean, going back to the feelings thing, it's like, it doesn't always feel good to be a parent. I'll never forget, I went over to one of my best friend's houses, told her that I was pregnant, and she was, we were both so happy. She just like cried, and she was like, I'm so happy for you. Aww. She was like, but it's the most difficult, hardest, most rewarding thing you'll ever do in your life.
Yeah.
And she, I don't think anyone's ever described it as simple as, and as well as that, is that it's some days are way more of a struggle, but the days that are a struggle, it makes the days that they are listening, they are behaving, they are following the rules, it makes them so much better. And you do get these glimmers of hope where it's like,
yeah,
okay, it's working. And the next day may be complete.
Well, and that's the thing opposite. Too. You start to notice when you spend enough time with small children and watching somebody who's disciplining correctly, you start to realize that when you fight a battle for one day, if it's a whole day, often the next day, the kid is just as tired as you are. They're like, it is not worth it. Like, I agree. And I am so glad that you think that. Like, the next day is usually better. And even, you know, you'll start to have a longer string of decent days where they're not going to fight you. And then a couple weeks go by and they're like,
there's a rough day.
Let's fight a little bit more and see if mom or dad still is a brick wall, you know?
And even,
Or months go by and they're like, hey, can I still not color on the walls? Let's find out.
Guys, like, just yesterday, I called Luke, and I never do this, but it was after 5 and he's normally home by then. And I was just like, babe, when are you going to be home? Like, I don't want this to be the first thing you hear walking home. But at the same time, it's been a day. It's one thing after another. And it's like the kids just are walking around looking for problems. It's like they're looking for things to do wrong. And so he's like, I'll be right there. I'm only 10 minutes away. I'm like, great. I walk out the door to wipe the handprints off the back of the bathroom window because my kids were climbing through the bathroom window all onto the porch. You guys know it's like 6 feet in the air.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's impressive.
Oh, it's a bunker window.
They had to stand up on the toilet to climb out the window.
Why?
I don't
Your
know.
Door is like... What? 3 meters away?
That's not fun, Megan.
Sure. Who knows what they're playing?
I have no idea what got into them. It was literally that kind of thing all day. I'm like, why are you doing this? Why? And so I go to wipe the handprints off. Luke sees me. He's coming up the walkway to the door that I had just walked out. So we pass each other, and he goes in the back door. And as soon as he gets through the back door that I just walked out, he spies Silas coloring on the wall. Right there. It was like Silas was following me.
I was like, ooh.
Stopped when he got to the door. I walked out. Silas stayed there and turned on his heels and colored on the wall. And so Luke walks through and finds him there, swats him, sends him out to bed. And I come in having wiped the handprints off. I was gone 60 seconds. I come in. I hear Silas crying. And I'm like, because then I see the crayon on the wall. And I'm like, when did he do that? And Luke goes, I walked in and he was doing it. And I was like, you saw me walk out the door in front of you. How did he do that? Yeah. It was that fast.
Yes.
But today has been significantly better.
Simon just took a little fall. He's fine. He's fine.
It sounded worse than it was.
Well, I was going to just say one more thing. And then if anybody else has anything, I just didn't want to forget this. It's important that we tackle these things early on.
Yes.
Because it's so much harder when they get to be
12.
Yeah. They're teenagers.
Yeah.
At some point, they slam their door in your face and lock it. It's so much easier to handle it when they're little.
Right.
And you still have
more authority.
Yeah, you can still pick them up. You can still put them in, you know.
Right.
They still tell you what they want.
Yeah. I want to walk. Oh, nope.
Okay, you're not getting that.
Oh, you're not getting that. I want a hug. Great, that's what you're not getting. Right. I would say from like 18 months to about 5 years old or so are the roughest part where you feel like a drill sergeant and you're constantly cracking the whip and trying to get them back in line and you're going, is this doing anything at all? I've got a kid who colors on the walls 10 seconds after I walked past him. Like, this is crazy. And I'm a pro. I've been doing this a long time. What is going on?
That makes me feel better.
But I want to reach out to the parents. Like, that was what I was saying. My ministry, I feel like I want it to be toward the parents who want to learn how to teach those kids instead of constantly working with just the 2, 3, 4-year-olds when... If they're being raised by a grandma who calls the church and says, you're not being very Christ-like, it's like, yeah, that kid is doomed. It does not matter how much I reinforce good behavior with that kid. There's nothing I can do if I don't get in a room with grandma and have a talk with her and help her understand what's at stake here.
And there's a lot of stuff out there that will try to guilt trip you and make you feel bad, will make you question your parenting. Yep. If you don't have a group of people like the four of us do.
Yeah.
I really feel bad for you because it's going to make it that much harder because you have society pushing back saying, oh, do this. There shouldn't be any consequences. Oh, well, no wonder your child can't get it together. You have a really hard time controlling your, and it's like,
again, if I hadn't seen it, you know, firsthand from others passing down this information, it would be a lot harder for me to believe it. Having seen the fruit of consistency and discipline and, you know, rules, boundaries. Like, I've seen it with my own eyes now, and that makes it a lot easier to stay resolved even when it's one of those days.
Even your brother, who's my husband, Carla, who, you know, was terrible as a child. I'm sure your mom and yourself literally about died raising him. He about died too. Yeah. And not because of her, but because he was just completely stupid.
Yes.
But even he, I mean... If your mom was a fly on the wall in our house, I think she would be proud because she could see firsthand that 32 years later, he's implementing these same things.
Right. I mean, something stuck.
It did.
Somehow. Yes. Oh,
the amount of times I've said a phrase my mom said and then kind of shuddered like, oh no.
Oh, it happened.
I'm it's her. Happened.
But it works. Like, and things that I learned at the daycare and things that I've learned in volunteering in youth groups and stuff, like those practices do work, but it has to be consistent. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget the teacher I trained to replace me at the preschool because I was pregnant, actually hugely pregnant and about to pop. And I was training my replacement, and she says to me after watching for like a week, 2 weeks, I had just gotten done talking to one of the boys the way that I would talk to one of my nephews or one of my sons, where, you know, he's like, oh, I want such and such. And I was like, you're not going to get such and such. It has not been a good day of choices for you today. And, you know, you're going to, if this happens, then we will talk about such and such. But right now, I'm still a little bit annoyed with what you did earlier, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Some conversation like that. The teacher who's replacing me looks at me and goes, you know, when you talk to the kids, you're kind of
mean. And
she didn't say it. She did not say it. She goes, and I said, mean? And she laughed and she goes, I didn't want to say that because that's not really what I mean. Like, it's not mean.
More like authoritative.
And she said, they don't see it as mean. Mm-hmm. That's what her observation was. That kid turned and walked away like, yeah, Miss Amanda's probably right about that.
We'll talk
about it later.
Totally don't deserve that toy or treat or whatever. My choices have been terrible.
Well, and sometimes it's talking to them like
an adult.
An adult that can understand. There was a huge difference. So I nannied for 2 years. And honestly, it was like paid training for me.
Yep.
Because there were days where I came home and I was like, man, that was hard. Or like I would leave and cry because it was just so difficult. And they weren't even my own children.
I would just turn my radio off.
My limits were
like, I would go home and cry.
Yes.
And just be like,
But I noticed that giving them they had zero responsibilities. But when I started giving them responsibilities of things to do, cleaning up, going upstairs and whatever, and talking to them like little adults that they are, because they're still really smart, even though they're still learning.
Yeah.
There was a huge transition period in those 2 years. And granted, they're growing, they're learning, but it was just amazing the leaps and bounds they came.
Yeah.
In that period of time.
It seems counterintuitive to a lot of people, I think, who don't work with kids. You give them jobs, like a to-do list.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that would be so hard to get them to do all of these things before they can play. It's like, no. Like, that to-do list is your, I guess, team effort for the day. Like, that's the shared goal. And kids really appreciate having that clearly marked out for them. And if you say, or here's like the deal, we're doing these six things and we're doing them together and we're not going to fight while we're doing it. And if we do fight, then there's going to be consequences. They are annoyed that they don't get to do just whatever they want. But at the same time, they usually tackle it so much better than if you were to just give them a free-for-all kind of... Free-for-all is the worst. Like, free choice, free play is when all the bad stuff happens.
It's like raising those shepherding dogs, those border collies. Like, if you don't give them a job to do, they will find a job. And you won't like it.
Yes. I've given Marcy a wet rag before and said, go clean things. And she gets to pick what she wants to wipe down. Or we'll play like a structured game. But I'll also notice that because I've given her a lot of like, we're going to do this and then we're going to do this, she, being intelligent, has says, okay,
and then
mom,
what?
How about this? Yeah. This is what she says. Speaking to Marcy, hi, babes. What? Yes, I'll help you. She'll say, okay, mom. I'll be like, all right, we're going to go to the grocery store and then we're going to come home and then you can watch your videos. And she'll be like, all right, how about this? We go to the library. Then we go to the grocery store. Then I watch my videos and I'm like, I like it. No, that's not what's happening.
Yeah. My kids often expect some sort of goodie at the end of a long day of work now. And it's like, we may need to adjust our expectations. Sometimes we just work because it's the right thing to do and not because we're going to get ice cream or some other thing. But that's kind of level two, level three stuff to deal with. Like in the toddler years, yes, jobs are everything. And clearly marked expectations.
Here's a job.
I think that's everything that we were going to really talk about. This turned into a full episode.
Good job.
Ladies.
I figured it would.
I had a feeling it would too.
Should I do the outro music or what?
Yeah.
Go for it.
That's one last thing I have to add.
I honestly think we could do full episodes of just our toddler stories.
Oh, just, we could do many multiple episodes. Just,
one of my favorites is the, yes, they are.
Thank you for joining us for Just Because I Love You Day. You can also find us on MeWe in the group Four Sisters Birth and Motherhood Counseling and on Instagram, Four Sisters One Savior. Those are numerals. We also have an email account, foursistersonesavior@gmail.com. And those are also numerals, not words. Four Sisters One Savior. See you next time.